The lesson that I have is here this morning is a very simple one. I've entitled it Daily, and really it's just things that we need to do on a daily or very consistent basis. A few of the things are slightly more than daily, slightly less than it, but it's things that we need to continuously be doing, things that we need to do time and time again. And we're just going to look at a few things. This is not a lesson to be, these are all the things that you need to do every single day. It's not the point. I just put these things out here as reminders for us of things that we really need to be consistently doing, that we need to think about and consistently be looking out for. So that's what we're going to focus on here today. And we're just going to look at a few different things and talk about them and why they are a daily, a consistent, and repeated thing. So the first thing I want to look at is things that we need to be doing on a daily basis is benevolence, giving. And to point out the daily nature of this, you really don't need to go further than to think that, well, we do eat, you know, we all the things that we use that we have, we need on a daily basis. But if we look in Acts chapter 6, we have a specific example where there was benevolence going on, where we were taking care of people, right? And in verse 1 of chapter 6, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, why did they distribute food daily to the widows? Well, because they needed to eat daily, right? And it's really, in some ways, it's as simple as that. So because there are recurring needs that people have, we need to be on the lookout to meet those on a daily, a consistent, a recurring basis. So we need to show that benevolence daily. In this case, you know, we talked about the widows, and we need to show that benevolence because, again, like I said, because it's a daily need, it's a recurring need, and we have to meet needs. That's what benevolence, that's what giving is all about. It's about meeting needs that somebody else has. Go ahead and turn to James, the second chapter. And James is not trying to make the point I'm making here. He's trying to use the point that I'm making here, because the point that I'm trying to make here is one that we pretty much understand. In chapter 2 of James, in verse 15, he says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But his question here is, if you say, go in peace, be warmed and filled, and you don't give them anything, what does that do? No, we need to be active in our benevolence. We need to be looking for and meeting people's needs. That is the point. That's why benevolence exists. That's why God has given us, and you could even say that's why God has given us one another, other people, to meet those needs. And this is a laudable, this is an important thing. And if you look at, for example, Cornelius in Acts, back in Acts, the 10th chapter, this is something that he did habitually. He did it regularly. It wasn't something that he did, oh, every now and then. It was something that he made a habit of. He did it consistently. In Acts, the 10th chapter, in verse 2, here describing Cornelius as a centurion, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the poor, and prayed continually to God. So Cornelius's example was one, he gave generously, and not just once. It was defined him. It was how he was described. So that's what we know about Cornelius's giving. And equally important, giving, the willingness to give, to take care of people who have needs, is a defining characteristic of who we need to be. James, going back to James again, in James the first chapter, James chapter 1 and 27, James writes, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So, seeing to people's physical needs is part of our spiritual responsibility, our spiritual service. But I think it doesn't even stop there, right? Because when you talk about orphans and widows and they're distressed, are they distressed because they're poor and because they don't have things? Well, yeah, that's part of it. But why else are they distressed? Because they've lost someone. Because there's a person who is important to them, who has died. That's what makes them an orphan or a widow, right? That is not something that you simply, it's not something that you simply provide money and see to those physical needs. There are lots of other needs. There are lots of other things that go along with that. So not just money. When we talk benevolence, when we talk giving of ourselves, it's not just about our money. It's about our time and it's about our love. You know, and especially in our society, it's really easy to throw money at a problem and just, you know, and does that make a difference? Sure, it can make a difference, but that's not what people really need, especially in our society. Because we're, you know, we've spoke about it already this morning. We're not needy. I mean, you know, our people in poverty have cell phones and cable TV and cars and things like that. So what people need is our time, our attention, our love. That's what we need to make sure that we are giving to people who need it. Because it's not ours, it's God's. So benevolence, and again, that's something, those emotional needs as well are something that is not, oh, it's a one time, and then, you know, you go to the family after the funeral and you say, oh, I'm very sorry for your loss and I hope you feel better and take comfort that you'll see them in eternity or whatever. Okay, it's great, but it doesn't stop there. If it stops there, you haven't fulfilled much in the way of responsibility. So our giving, our benevolence, our kindness needs to be daily. It needs to be recurring. It needs to happen continually. And speaking of those needs, those especially those spiritual, those emotional needs, they happen on a daily basis and we need to meet them on a daily basis. We need to daily encourage one another. And we see this is definitely what the early church did. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. What do we see them doing? And this is just one example in verse 46 of Acts chapter 2. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. They were daily together. They were spending time with one another, the brethren were, because we need to encourage one another. The verse that we read right before the lesson in Hebrews the 13th chapter. In Hebrews the 3rd chapter, in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I mean, this verse is where I got the title for this lesson. Daily. Exhort one another daily. That's what we need to be doing, because sin is out there, and it's trying to get into our lives. And one of the big weapons God gives us in fighting that is one another and the encouragement that we can provide for one another. And again, I don't know exactly when you might need encouragement. So the best thing I can do is not just taking every opportunity, but making opportunities. We need to make opportunities to encourage one another daily. Go ahead and stay in Hebrews. Turn over to the 10th chapter. And here in verses 24 and 25, this is a passage we're fairly familiar with, but I want us to think about it in another light. In verses 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The point of this passage, what the Hebrew writer is telling them is, you need to be encouraging one another. You need to, and you can't do that without coming together. And certainly I think that there are applications of this to the assemblies that we have, but I think there's application beyond that. We need to be coming together as frequently as possible, as much as possible, and in as encouraging ways as possible, in order to fulfill our responsibilities. And those responsibilities are, well, going back to Hebrews 3, daily, we need to be exhorting one another. Now, we have some extra blessings in our day and time, right, where we can maybe do some of this, meet some of this by picking up a phone and giving somebody an encouraging call or an encouraging text, certainly. But the principle here in Hebrews chapter 10 is we're encouraging one another best when we're together. That's when we can get the most benefit. And that's something we need to be working toward on a daily basis. Paul was concerned for his brethren on a daily basis, and even when he wasn't with them and couldn't be with them, he made sure they felt the encouragement. Go ahead and turn to, for example, 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Here, Paul detailing the things that he goes through, the difficulties that he has endured and shipwrecks and things like that. In verse 28, he says, "And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." And so here he tells these brethren in Corinth, every day there's my anxiety for all the churches. He's letting them know that they're in his thoughts, in his concerns, in his prayers consistently. So that even though he's not there with them, he's still providing this encouragement. And we need to make sure even when we can't be together, we're working to provide that encouragement. Again, daily is a good way of thinking about it, but consistently, all the time, because I don't know exactly when you need that encouragement, so I need to be ready with it. So we need to take care of people's physical needs daily. We need to take care of our spiritual needs, our mutual spiritual needs daily. And I think a huge tool for being able to do this is in staying strong ourselves and looking to God for everything and in praying daily. In the 86th Psalm, David writes, in verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 86, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you." Here, David talks about crying to God throughout, not just daily, but throughout the day. Daniel, in we all know this story, but you can go ahead and turn over there in Daniel the 6th chapter, because I think the way that it talks about it is very interesting. In chapter 6, verse 10 of chapter 6, the king has just signed into law that says nobody can make a petition or a prayer to anybody but the king. And of course, the whole law was made to trap Daniel because they knew he would make petition. And that's what happens in verse 10. "Daniel knew that the document had been signed. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously." And there's a couple of things, or some translations say as was his custom. There's a couple of things I want us to note there. One is that he had carved out that time. He specifically went and did this, prayed three times a day. And I also want us to note that this was not something that, well, the king said you can no longer pray to God. Well, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to do it out in public and I'm going to make sure everybody knows, because that's just not right. That was not Daniel's point. Daniel's point was not to make a display because of how egregious and silly this law was. Daniel's point was that, well, he did this every day, and it was important to him. This is not something Daniel started to do because this law was made. This was something Daniel had done. It was his custom. He'd done that all along. So daily, he was praying. Jesus encourages us to pray. I would argue that we need to pray daily because he authorizes, he gives us a sample prayer to the disciples in Matthew chapter 6. And they'd asked him how to pray. So here he is giving an example of how we should pray. And what does he say in verse 11? "Give us this day our daily bread." Not, "Lord, please give me enough that I can stock up this barn and I can just live forever off the food that I make this year." It's not what we're told to ask for. Partly because, of course, even if we had that, we don't know that it's really going to be there tomorrow. We need to be trusting in God consistently, always. And we need to be praying to Him daily for the things that are important to us, the concerns that we have, something that we need to do every day. And truthfully, of course, even more than that. In class this morning, we looked at Philippians, the fourth chapter. Starting in verse 4, Paul writes to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So here, prayer is contrasted with being anxious. So if there's something that you're worried about, what do you need to be doing? Praying. Now, if you can go through an entire day without worrying about anything, wow. And because there's lots of things that are a concern. And so what that means is if there's something that you're concerned about that you rightfully ought to be worried about, or even that you know you rightfully oughtn't be worried about, but you are anyway, all the more important to take it to God to allay that concern, because He takes care of us. And we're told that when we do that, we'll have peace. That is, we don't need to dwell on those things that are worrying us. So praying daily, not just daily, but consistently, but when we have worries, is a way to release us from the bondage of those things. I'm not even going to turn there. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul's instructions there are what? Pray without ceasing. Some translation might say, never stop praying. We need to be doing it consistently, constantly. Not even just daily, but even more than that. But it's something we need to be doing, because it is something that's vital for us. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul again here instructing the Ephesians, in verse 15, starting in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And here, this also ties this in with the last thing we talked about of encouraging one another, right? Because he says, what are we supposed to be doing all the time? Giving thanks always? And right before that, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we're encouraging one another. That's something, again, that we need to be doing consistently. We need to make time. We need to prioritize it and make sure that it is happening consistently. So we need to give daily. We need to encourage one another daily. To do that, we need to maintain our strength. We need to pray daily. And we need to prepare daily. We need to work on righteousness. And these are two slightly different concepts, but we'll bring them together here in the verses we look at. Jesus says in Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 23, he said to them, 23, not 3. He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross daily and follow me." So we need to take up our cross. That is, the burden of being like Jesus is really the focus there. And we need to do that daily. So we need to be acting like Him, toward Him, every day. Also in Luke, in the 21st chapter, verses 34 through 36, Jesus gives a warning here. "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Here, we need to be watchful, prayerful. This ties back to what we just talked about, right? Prayerful on a daily, on a consistent basis. We need to be looking out, because we don't know when the specific need's going to be there. We need to be making efforts daily to be ready for when Jesus comes. And how do we do that? Well, by practicing righteousness on a daily basis, by focusing on doing what's right. Go ahead and turn over to Acts, the 24th chapter. Verse 16 here, Paul, in defending himself, says, "So I take pains to have a clear conscience, so I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man." All the time, he's focusing on keeping his conscience clear. Once again, daily, we need to be focusing on what we can do that is right, that is like God. Go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs, the 8th chapter. And in verse 34, this is wisdom speaking, says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." So we need to be watching daily at the gates of wisdom, considering, thinking about how we can do what God wants us to do. So we need to be looking for doing what is right, doing God's work all the time. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. It's one of probably my favorite chapter. If I have to have a favorite chapter in the Bible, this is it. But at the very culmination of this amazing discussion that Paul has here in 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Always abounding in the work of the Lord, consistently, time after time, again and again. That's what we need to be focusing on. And when we are showing the things of God consistently, with that we need to be prepared, we need to be ready, not just to meet the wiles of the devil that he'll throw at us, but also to leverage that into benefit in the kingdom. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. And in verse 15, we're told, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." We need to be always ready to, when people see in our actions that we have a hope, we need to explain that hope. We need to be ready to do that. So we need to be prepared. And we need to make, to do that, if we're going to do that, we need to be making efforts on a daily, on a consistent basis. And much of that effort needs to focus on the Scriptures. In Acts, the 17th chapter, when Paul was teaching in Berea, he was teaching the Jews there, and in verse 11 of Acts chapter 17, we read that, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So what they did is they took their experiences every day, in this case they were very intense experiences with Paul, and they compared them to the Scriptures. They dug in, they examined the Scriptures daily. And I believe that is a good example for us to be doing, to examine the Scriptures daily and match it up with what we're hearing, what we're experiencing. 2 Timothy chapter 2, a verse we're all very familiar with, in verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Some translations say, "Be diligent," or "Work hard to present yourself approved." How do you do that? By digging into God's Word, to being able to handle His Word. So we need to be diligent in our study in order to be able to meet all these other things that we need to be doing on a daily basis. The early Christians were all about studying and teaching. In Acts, the 5th chapter, in verse 42, "Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." Every day They were teaching about Jesus. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us have taught about Jesus 7 days in the last week? We're not very good, I think, at this as a rule. And there may be some exceptions in here, and I'm very glad of that. But I know for myself, I don't generally leverage all these other things into teaching Jesus daily. That is the most wonderful thing that we have, and there is no good reason for us not to be proclaiming that the Christ is Jesus on a daily basis. Paul worked hard to do this and worked through all sorts of impediments. In Acts the 17th chapter, while he was in Athens, he was so provoked by the idolatry in the city, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. So not just with the Jews and the devout persons, the people who were concerned about God and his things. He went out and found everybody. He reasoned with everybody he had the opportunity to. And then we see that he did. I mean, he only had a finite amount of time, and he focused his time on those he thought most likely to listen. In Acts, the 19th chapter, when he's now in Ephesus, when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. So he went to where he'd have people who would listen. But even if he wasn't sure people would listen, in the marketplaces in Athens, he was proclaiming it. That's what we need to be doing. And as we do this, we need to make sure that we're presenting things as well as possible. And our teaching will be better if our study is better. Our study will be better if we're spending time preparing and focusing on what God wants us to do. And that's going to be better if our prayer is better, which is going to be better if we're encouraging one another on a daily basis and focusing on taking care of one another's needs. But in Colossians, the 4th chapter, in verse 6, we're told when we are teaching or speaking in general, chapter 4, verse 6 of Colossians, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Now here the admonition is not a daily, but an always. But most of us speak at least daily, right? Let your speech be seasoned with salt. And salt is one of those things that if you've got a dish that's somewhat unpleasant, you can use some salt to cover that up and to hide that unpleasantness and make it palatable, make it so that it's edible, it's usable. And if you've got something that's already good, just a little bit of salt can bring out that flavor, make it much better. And that's what we need to do. We need to consider with our words how we can present things in the way that people need, in the way that they will be ready to listen to, not that they'll just spit out. So that's what we need to be doing. And that needs to be an effort that we make on a consistent, on a daily basis. So we looked at just a few things here that we need to do every day. We talked about benevolence, about giving, and how the fact that our needs are constant, and so our giving needs to be daily, consistent, constant. We talked about our need to encourage one another daily, consistently. And in order to have the strength to do that, to continue in prayer on a daily basis, to practice righteousness, to practice doing what God has told us to do on a daily basis, which will give us opportunities for teaching. And if we're going to be properly prepared for those opportunities, we need to be studying on a daily basis. And that's what I have to offer here this morning.